Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by a special guest, Rachel Gelman. Rachel is a physical therapist specializing in pelvic floor rehabilitation. She's part of the Pelvic Health and Rehabilitation Center, with locations in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Berkeley, Los Gatos, and Boston. PHRC is the premier pelvic floor rehabilitation clinic in the country, with upwards of 10,000 patients treated per year. Rachel joins us to talk about the relationship between the pelvic floor and sexual function and pleasure. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a brief explanation of what the pelvic floor muscles are and what function they play in the human body.
Sure. Great question. So the pelvic floor is a pretty dynamic group of muscles located in the pelvis, and it's composed of different layers. So you have a superficial layer and a deeper layer, and it's almost like a muscular bowl in your pelvis, and it serves to support your pelvic organs. So for women, that would be the bladder, uterus, and colon, and for men, that would be the bladder, prostate, and colon. So the function of these muscles is not only to support those organs, but also to help provide core stability. So when people talk about, you know, the core muscles, they're usually referring to the pelvic floor as well as two other muscles in the body. So that's kind of the gist of these muscles.
Well, it's interesting. When I hear core muscles, I usually think of the abdominal muscles and the back muscles.
Right.
Is that just a total misunderstanding?
No. So there are three muscles that are considered true core muscles. One is the transverse abdominis, which is located in the lower abdomen. And then you have the pelvic floor, which people don't tend to think about as being a core muscle, as well as the multifidi, which are small little muscles in your spine. So the back and the abdomen are true. Yeah, that is not completely off base, but I feel like people tend to forget that the pelvic floor is a core muscle. And if you think about it, it has a really big job. It's, you know, located at the bottom of your pelvis, and it's supporting these organs as well as everything else in your abdomen kind of rests on your pelvic floor. So it's kind of always working. It's one of the few muscles that kind of is always active, never really gets to take a break, because if it did, we'd always be, you know, peeing our pants. So it's kind of always working.
And do you think the kind of silence about these muscles has to do with sexual shame? Is there a connection there?
I think so. I think definitely whenever something is involved with like the vagina or the genitals at all, like people, it's very taboo to talk about it. So I definitely think it is a little bit related to sexual shame, just in general, that like we don't talk about that area of the body. It's kind of closeted. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from. And just people just don't know. There's a lack of education. The research is still relatively new and still coming out. So I think that would be, you know, several reasons why it's not discussed.
So at the clinic, you treat a lot of different pelvic conditions, pelvic pain, prolapse, all these things. But this is a sex podcast.
Right.
So let's dive into the relationship between the pelvic floor and our sex lives. Mm-hmm. What is the relationship between these muscles and sexual function, sexual pleasure?
Yeah, great. So there's the kind of, I guess, obvious that when you have an orgasm, these muscles contract and relax, and that's kind of what happens. As well as there's a whole full body response. You know, your body releases a lot of different hormones, but basically the pelvic floor's involvement is that it does contract, relax. So that's kind of the main involvement there. I mean, and then there's the obvious that there's a lot of different nerve endings, and you have the clitoris, which is actually comprised of some of the superficial pelvic floor muscles. Also, the pelvic floor, if it's healthy, is involved with, you know, providing like proper lubrication for women. And then for men, you know, the penis is full of nerve endings, and the pelvic floor, if the muscles are healthy, that's going to help, you know, enhance sexual function as well.
It's our understanding that a lot of people have chronic tension in the pelvis. Mm-hmm. What happens on a functional level when you're carrying around chronic tension in these muscles? How does that affect all of these functions you just talked about?
So basically a lot of those, well, the kind of the biggest one that I see is pain, and that can be for women, pain with initial penetration, pain with deep or thrusting, because it's essentially like if you had a stiff neck, these muscles are in spasm, they're contracted. And so if there's any insertion happening, that's going to lead to pain. And also there's a lot of different nerves that are passing through these muscles. So if any of those nerves are getting irritated, you might get referred pain to different areas of the body, or local pain in the vagina, the vulva, or even into the clitoris or the rectum. And the same thing for men. Men might have pain with erections, with ejaculation, and same thing, the pain might be in the tip of the penis, in the shaft, in the testicles, scrotum, perineum, or rectum. So that's probably the, like, kind of the biggest one that I see is just any type of pain. But also, you know, if these muscles are too tight or there's a lot of tension, that can inhibit blood flow. So then you might not get proper lubrication, which can lead to pain. It can also tend to cause, you know, fissuring of the vulva or the vestibule, the vaginal opening. So there's a lot of different things that can occur, and they're kind of all under this umbrella term of pain or pelvic pain, pelvic dysfunction.
Wow. And so our culture is kind of obsessed with strengthening the pelvic muscles and tightening the vagina. Do we need to start talking more about relaxation of these muscles as well?
Yeah, definitely. I really think that people need to start talking just about general improved movement of these muscles, is how I'd kind of describe it. Because there's nothing wrong with strengthening, because I feel like there's kind of this divide where everyone's like, oh, we shouldn't be strengthening these muscles. And there's another party that's like, oh, Kegels, everyone should be Kegeling all the time. And I think it should be more a conversation about how to get these muscles moving to their fullest potential. Because they should be able to contract, but they should also be able to relax. And I think that people forget that there needs to be that balance. And just like any other muscle of the body, they should have a certain range of motion. If you were walking around all the time with your elbow bent in a constant bicep curl, that wouldn't be very healthy. But you'd still want it to be able to move so you can pick up a cup or brush your hair. So it's the same thing for the pelvic floor. They should be, those muscles should be able to contract, but they should also be able to lengthen all the way. And that's actually the best way you could probably get, you know, people talk about doing Kegels to have a better orgasm. And if you're always just strengthening, those muscles are going to have a shorter range of motion and the orgasm might not be as good. But if you have this full lengthening and contraction, that would probably be the best way to, like, enhance sexual function.
So what can we do to address that? How do we get that full range of motion?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, I think making sure you take time after you do any form of exercise to really relax. So whether that's hanging out in child's pose, and just kind of taking the time to do some deep breathing and really focus on just letting go of any tension you have anywhere in your body. Because everything's connected. All these different muscles in your abdomen and your legs all connect to your pelvis. And so whenever muscles share these bony attachment points, they tend to talk to one another. So even just focusing on relaxing your abdomen, so many people tend to, like, hold their breath, suck their stomach in, squeeze their butt, instead just, like, letting everything go for just a couple minutes a day. But then on the flip side, staying active. You know, we want people to be moving their bodies, increasing blood flow to all these different muscles. And I'm not talking about anything too aggressive, just even going for a walk, swimming, anything like that to get your blood flowing is a good way to kind of get this balance within your pelvic floor.
Lovely. And what do you think about squats as a pelvic exercise? Is that a good one?
I mean, again, that's kind of, it's a case-by-case basis. There's some people who I would say, yeah, great, you can do squats. For other people, I would say maybe that's not the best thing or they should wait. I'd say if anyone's having any type of, like, pelvic pain, it'd probably be a good idea to get assessed by a physical therapist before they start doing any type of squats, especially any squats of, like, overhead lifting. That can put a lot of pressure on the pelvic floor. So it really, it's kind of a hard one to answer. I get asked that a lot, and it really just is a case-by-case basis. But I wouldn't say squats are bad. It just depends.
Right. And so how do you relate to this cultural dialogue about the vagina getting too loose and there's surgeries to correct that? What do you see in your practice around that, and how do women relate to it? What's fact and fiction from your perspective?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I mean, I don't really see anyone who's undergoing those surgeries, but I definitely get asked a lot of questions about, like, if their vagina feels normal. A lot of people want to know about doing Kegels to make it tighter so it feels better. And I mean, I think, in my opinion, it really goes back to having better education for women about what their, you know, vulva and vagina should look and feel like, and that there is this, like, long range or wide range of normal, and that everyone's different. Yeah, so I think it just goes back to, like, there needs to be better education. I mean, I see women who've had multiple children and they don't even know where their babies came out of. And so you have to sometimes do, like, a lot of education. And I just feel like there's a disconnect between when this should be happening, you know, during sex education. And I think it's just not happening. So, I mean, I really think that we need to get rid of this language and culture of tightening the vagina and just recognize that, you know, it's an ever-changing vessel. It's meant to stretch, to have, you know, babies. It's meant to change. And it's really a dynamic part of the body. And I just feel like the best way to start that process is just with better education, so people can get to know their bodies and know how the vagina is supposed to look and feel, and that there are all these differences. But I think that's going to be a long process.
Yeah, we're working on it, definitely.
Yeah.
And what do men need to know to take care of their pelvis and improve their sexual and prostate health?
That's a good question. Men, I mean, I feel like very similar, because their internal anatomy is the same as women. So the same sort of thing, you know, making sure they're paying attention to how they're holding their body throughout the day, especially if they're sitting a lot in today's culture. I see so many people working in, you know, the tech industry, so they're sitting a lot. You know, where I am, I have so many patients who are on, you know, the shuttle buses down to Silicon Valley. So that's a lot of sitting. So you're having a lot of pressure on these muscles, on your pelvis. So making sure that they're taking time to move around and go for a walk, take breaks from sitting, and just paying attention to what they're doing with their bodies on a regular basis. And yeah, so I mean, I feel like it's pretty much the same as what I would recommend for women. I think sometimes people forget that our internal anatomy is all the same. It just so happens that men have a penis. So it's a little bit easier for men to realize if they're activating their pelvic floor muscles, because they can see their penis moving if they're doing it correctly. So just, like, making sure they have that same balance that I would recommend for women to have.
Yeah, it's so true that we have way more in common than different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. What point do people need to come into a clinic like yours and get professional help? Like, what are the big warning signs that it's gotten to the point of professional need?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if anyone is having those thoughts of, like, something, you know, if you know your body best. So if something seems different with urinary, bowel, sexual function than what's normal for you, that's kind of the first red flag if something's changed. So that might be you're urinating more often. The big one I see is people feel like they have a UTI. They keep going to the doctor and there's no infection. That's a big one. I see constipation is a huge one, pushing, straining with bowel movements. And sometimes people think, like, oh, like, these probably aren't related, but if you catch it early enough, then it can kind of prevent it escalating into then having, you know, pain with sex and all these other things, just because these muscles are all related to these different systems. So any pain with sex isn't normal. So that's a definite red flag. I feel like a lot of times I see women who are like, oh, you know, I have some pain, but that's normal. And I'm like, no, that's not normal. Like, you shouldn't have pain or burning with penetration or deeper thrusting. And the same for men, if they're having any pain with erections, pain with ejaculation, those are all reason or kind of signs that they should come in and see us. And then obviously for any woman after she's delivered a baby, I often recommend that they come in at least for a consult just to make sure that everything's healing well.
And what kind of modalities might you offer?
Well, for myself, I mainly am a manual therapist. So I'm doing a lot of hands-on work, a lot of connective tissue manipulation, myofascial release, trigger point release, and different, like what we call neuromuscular re-education. So kind of trying to train or re-educate the muscles to do the different things that I was talking about earlier. So being able to contract, relax, and lengthen. There are some therapists who use, you know, different things like a biofeedback machine as a tool to basically help with that re-education process. It just kind of depends on where you go, but for all intensive purposes, I'm a manual therapist. And so I mainly am using my hands a lot to work on these different structures. So it's a combination of manual therapy as well as education, exercises, if that's appropriate, and re-education of those different muscles.
And I'm just curious because in our work, we find that this area has so many emotions attached to it, shame and guilt. Do you find sometimes people come in for a physical symptom and end up in a very emotional process?
Oh, definitely. I probably, for most of my patients, recommend that they, you know, either consult with a general psychotherapist or someone who specializes in chronic pain, just because this area of the body does hold a lot of emotions. And yeah, I have so many patients who it brings things up for them, whether it's past trauma, or guilt, like you mentioned, shame, anxiety, sadness, so many things come up. Yeah. And obviously that's not always within my scope. So I definitely tend to recommend that or refer people to practitioners that I think can help them because it is a whole body process, in my opinion. You know, the brain and the pelvis, I feel like, are very interrelated, just like the entire body. So yeah, so I definitely see that a lot. A lot of emotions come up when you work in this area of the body.
Yeah, and so what are the benefits, long-term whole body benefits of holistic pelvic care and really focusing on this area as a place of strengthening and relaxation? And when you take care of your pelvis, what happens to you?
That's a good question. What happens to you? So again, even though, you know, I'm in pelvic rehab and it is somewhat pelvic focused, again, it's a whole body thing. So really, I just see people having more energy and they feel more empowered once they like know about their bodies, and it's no longer this hush-hush topic for them to be talking about. So people feel better. I feel like, you know, knowledge is power, and having that awareness of your body and knowing what's going on helps people feel better. And again, like I always recommend, or I'm a big proponent of moving around and increasing exercise and things like that. And obviously, if you're moving more, you're getting out, exercising, that's going to make you feel better. It's just kind of the fact of life. So I definitely think even though it's pelvic health, it's whole body health. You know, this is like just another part of your body that you should be taking care of. And it just helps people feel better in general. I think the big thing is educating people. And when people have this education, they just feel better knowing about their bodies and not feeling confused and alone and having that kind of confidence that they know what's going on and they know what's going on with their bodies.
Beautiful. And thank you so much for doing the work you do.
Oh, my pleasure.
Where can our listeners find you to learn more?
We're, as you mentioned earlier, our locations are in San Francisco, Berkeley, Los Gatos, Los Angeles, and outside of Boston. So our website is pelvicpainrehab.com. And if you go to that website, there's a link to our blog. And that's probably the best way to learn more. We post once a week on all sorts of topics, pelvic pain, sexual dysfunction, pre and postpartum issues, anything you can think of relating to pelvic floor dysfunction is on that blog. So that's probably the best way for people who aren't in our area. We also recently released a book called Pelvic Pain Explained, which is a great resource for people. And that's available on Amazon.
Beautiful. And we will link that all up on the show notes over at pleasuremechanics.com. Rachel, thank you so much for your time and wisdom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.